Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. My name's Robert Winters.
And I'm Judy Nathans.
And we are now in the merry, merry month of May 2022, yeah. May 3rd to be precise. The best month in the year, of course, because it's my birthday is this month. I'm being a little, that's a little inside joke for Ken Reeves, who used to actually every year he would put in a city council order celebrating all those who were born in the month of February because he was born in that month.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's
so
funny.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he didn't, you know, he was funny that way. Everybody laughed. It was fun. So anyway, so, you know, things are happening. Weather's getting better. What looked like a decline in COVID is now turning back into another upswing, but hopefully not a very big one. Even the wastewater is coming back up again, but hopefully not for too long. We'll see. So, you know, I was actually looking at I don't want to go look at those graphs or anything right now, but I was looking at the patterns from a year ago. And, you know, we had sort of a large crest and then there were a couple of bumps and then it faded away into the summer, commencing right around now. So, you know, maybe if history repeats, we can have a reason to be optimistic. So we'll see. So enough on that. the morbid talk of COVID. So let's see. So what else is going on? The big item this week on the civic front was the introduction of the FY 2023 Cambridge City budget.
It's a big one.
Yep. Yeah.
And why don't you show us a visual of it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's you know, you can get it. It's available now online as a PDF, but this is what the full budget book looks like.
You have a couple of evenings to look at.
Yeah, yeah, right? You know, it's full of lots of charts and graphs and.
But also, it should be verbiage. Available at the libraries.
Yeah, you could.
I know I couldn't find it at the library.
Yeah, they do print up a enough extra copies that if for the hardcore characters like me.
Right, but it also should be available to the public in the library.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You know, it goes in along with last year's budget book. Yeah. And I have boxes and boxes of budget books going back probably about 30 years now, actually. Yes. I think I need a new room in the house just for the budget books.
Well, who are you? I mean, not that I wish you ill will, but who are you donating all of your archival stuff to?
I think a lot of that stuff nobody would actually really want.
I disagree with you.
Well, I mean, there's some things, you know, I have a lot
historical
of
historical commission. I don't know.
Cambridge history, whatever, which, you know, I would certainly default to get, you know, going back to the Cambridge room of the public library or anywhere else, but they, you know, those places already have pretty much everything, but
they do, but I think you collect a lot of things that I think some people just even, you know, organizations do not save. And I think it's important because especially in this age of digital, people don't have paper copies anymore. You know?
For example, here's the original committee report establishing the Plan E charter.
Wow. Oh, yeah. You showed that before. See, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, you know, I got them around. Got a million of them here.
Yeah. Okay.
So, anyway, so the budget book came out and, you know, there's a lot of things to be said. Maybe I'll do a little share screen here and just to take a look at some of the budget priorities. I'll have to do a little quick zigzagging around here to get to this here. All right. So, let me go start it up at the very, very tippy top. So the something of it's kind of near and dear to me, to my heart as a person who's been complaining about the inability of the city council to come back with committee reports over the last year or two. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I think maybe somebody recognized that this is a problem. Yeah. So they're actually adding a position in the city clerk's office to provide funding for a new clerk of committee position. Mm. Right. You know, and that position existed many, many, many years ago, you know, as a clerk for the committees. And, you know, in terms of just the record keeping and making sure committee reports are made and done in a professional sort of way.
So why can't the personal aides take minutes?
You know, that was tried. I think Councillor Mazin did that one time.
With it may not be very neutral.
Oh my gosh. It was biased. It was.
Well, not if they use transcription software. Anyway.
Right. But, but even when you do transcription, that's you still have to review it to make sure.
Right. And edit it. Yeah. Right. So
I thought that was sort of a, we'll see what that position really is, but I think it's actually, I believe it's what I was describing.
That's a lot of money.
Well, you know, I think that includes the benefits. You know,
so what? That's still a lot of money. Wow.
I agree. Okay. I agree. Should I apply for the job? Are you saying?
God. Yeah.
You know, I honestly don't think
you need it. I don't think you need it. And you would
other than the fact that I might not get along with enough of the committee chairs, I'd probably be the most qualified person.
But wait, aren't there more than one? I mean, there's an assistant city clerk, right? Donna.
The city clerk's office. I mean, you could maybe argue that, well, maybe they should just sort of reallocate the job descriptions.
Right. But I guess it's gotten too much in some ways.
Yeah, I think that might be the case. So
meetings. Yeah. Okay.
So I'll say a few more items that are on here.
What else is there?
Because some of these things are kind of ordinary and expected. Some of them are kind of really different. Like the Election Commission has a big jump in its budget.
Where's that?
It's a 23. It's right up at the top.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So, but that's a 23.7% increase over last year's budget for the Election Commission. But I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that we're covering the cost of early and mail-in voting for municipal elections, which is not reimbursed by the state.
That's not a lot of money when I'm looking at all these other figures.
No. Well, we're not talking about gigantic departments here. Okay.
Right.
Even the percentage might be large, but the actual dollar amount is not huge.
Insurance, that's a biggie.
You know, that's the river that runs through everything.
Cash cow, yeah.
Is that, you know, their pensions and benefits, those are things that have really caused the city budgets to balloon over the years. Yeah. Is just
they
covering
get
all
great
of those
benefits
costs.
And pensions.
Exactly. Yeah, the city's not chintzy about these things. So that's a lot of money for that one.
Oh, a new housing search case, so they're gonna add to that.
Yeah. So they're
and housing liaison. Wow.
Yeah. So they're definitely changing some of the things within the. I mean, was it Maura Penzak? I think working out of the manager's office.
So they're going to add two positions. So that's.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it is a curiosity for me. But I remember when Bob Healy was city manager, and they created the Cambridge Environmental Program, and housed it within the manager's office.
Right.
I think it was because those were the days of the parking freeze, and there was potential controversy, and the manager basically wanted to keep it close, you know, because there were potential, legal quagmires and all sorts of stuff.
I see.
And then eventually spun it off over to Community Development Department, which is, became like the Transportation and Planning and Engineering division within the Community Development Department. Yeah. But it started as a subdivision within the manager's office. So it certainly seems over the last few years that, you know, with the housing liaison working out of the manager's office, that seems to be growing into something. But it kind of makes me curious because, you know, there is a housing division within Community Development. And at some point, you would think these should sort of be merged and not really be under the executive department.
Yeah, but it's a new position. So I guess it has to start there.
Yeah. But in addition to there's housing search case manager position and a housing liaison position funded in there. There's, in response to city council orders, a new equity and inclusion analyst. Mm. And then the one that actually, I'll tell you a funny story, says to provide funding for a new digital equity broadband project manager position.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, let me sort of step out of this for a moment just to speak to that. It's a funny thing. It's like there's a tradition. Which is that, I used to say, can I get the budget book? And they go, not until all the councilors have gotten the budget book can you get it. That way, and it was just sort of a tradition. I've always respected it. And, and to me, it was a little silly because what was I going to do? Really.
It's a power thing. It was
like a power thing, but I understood it. It was if a city councilor got wind of something in the budget after I had already said something, written something about it.
It's like a journalist finding something out that they shouldn't.
Yeah, well, I used to report the election returns before the city, and they got mad at that. So now they embargo the information.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that. I can understand.
I think it's sort of more of an embarrassment issue, really.
Well,
but anyway, so what happened over the weekend? I was just on like Twitter, and I happened to see, you know, a little snippet out of the thing about that broad digital equity and broadband position. I went, wait a minute, that wasn't in the materials for the council meeting. Somebody got access to the budget book. And I said, wait a minute, this shall not stand.
So who did?
I won't say. But what I said, well, if somebody else can do that, they're not going to beat me. So I said, how can I find out how it turned? So I did a little detective work, and I found a way to get it. You know, under the cover of darkness, basically by looking at the URL and just figuring it out. And
Counselors have the book last night at their meeting? That's right, because Dennis Carlone held it up.
But I managed to somehow sneak a peek before that. So I broke the rule. I should say I broke the tradition, because it's of no consequence at all. But I was very curious.
When did it go online for the rest?
I have no idea, because it was only
night.
Today it was available online publicly, but
that's what they did. Okay.
For those of us who are savvy at like detective work,
like you,
You know, I guess I broke the rules a little bit, or at least broke the tradition. It was not illegal, nothing like that. I don't want it to be any misunderstanding.
Yeah,
but the only reason why I did that is I wanted to have access to one particular thing, which unfortunately. I don't know that it actually was loading, but I was sort of trying to get it to load. It was, so I'll just speak to it without actually doing that. Let's see. Now we're not, I have to do another share screen here to speak to it.
Yeah.
All right. So, so I was very curious about this, and I've spoken about it for weeks now, about the, there was one new budget line item. Called community safety. And I figure, okay, we understand what that has to be. It has to be an outgrowth of all the talk about alternative ways of responding to police calls, et cetera.
Police response.
But which, by the way, in itself is not controversial. I mean, there are people within the police department who said, we shouldn't be bearing all this responsibility. You know, they're happy to do it, do it well, at least in Cambridge. I think we do it pretty well. But, there was a political pressure to create something separate. So, you know, I saw there was a budget item, you know, on Thursday night, I saw there was $2.87 million assigned to for the creation of a community safety department. And six funded positions, you know, I mean, the city's pretty chintzy about adding new positions. So this is probably about a quarter of all the new positions, I think. So it's a big deal. You kind of have to look through the budget book to see a little bit more detail about it. I had posted a document for that, but I was having a hard time loading it up here. So I'll just sort of talk about it a bit.
Well, send it to me, please.
But it's you can link it off of my website. It's right there. But in it, it's basically four pages in the budget book describing this new department. And you know, remember there was all this talk about this HART proposal, acronym HEART.
And they're already recruiting people for their own program, because they have been somewhat promised money from the city. I think this incorporates some of that. I do.
Well, I'm not so sure, because there's no mention of it.
But, I know,
But the another thing which I thought was significant is the city is using its own acronym, which is C-A-R-P, CARP. So, you know,
I don't
so,
think that's the best, but anyway,
that
I just
may not be
fish.
Right.
Fish.
But it's quite clear that this alternative will not involve having a separate phone number to call. Everything will be routed through the emergency management.
Right. I mean, they want that, but if they want that, they're going to have be their own little entity and maybe get some funding somehow from the city. But then who do you call? when your windshield's busted. I hate to use that analogy, but it's like, that's really what's going to happen. It's going to be confusing right. for residents if but they the don't know who to call.
Right. But the bottom line is that they're not in the budget. So okay. what may be true, they are one of the requestors for extra ARPA
yes.
money. You know, this COVID relief
right. money. Right. They were asking for 5 million.
Right.
Or was it 3 million? It was something. Right. It was between 3 and 5 million.
Yeah. But I believe we're at something like 33 million left to be allocated.
Uh-huh.
But there's over $130 million in requests for that, most of which is from the Cambridge right. Housing Authority. So,
okay.
you know, whether that ends up being budgeted that way, which is hard for me to imagine and a little curious, right. like, why would you do it if you're creating, which is, right. why would you want to have a duplicate service, basically?
Right.
So,
I think the bottom line is that the 911 is rooted through the city. And even if they come up with a different dispatch, it's still going to be rooted through the city. That has to be the way it is. And in fact, that is the way it is in Eugene, Oregon, with CAHOOTS. They do not have a right. separate thing.
Yeah.
So let's yeah. put that to rest. Okay.
Let's put yeah. it to rest. And actually, if you look even further at some mm-hmm. of these priorities in here, not only yeah. are those six positions for community safety,
yeah.
there's also a new assistant director of public safety information technology position.
Where do you see funded. That?
It's directly below
right
that.
Below it.
It's
yeah,
part of emergency
community. Director.
It's part of the emergency communications department, which is really where
sense.
All these things would be
That's
routed.
Right. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So and there's also a position for a half year for a licensed social worker within there as well. Okay, so it seems to me like, well, you know, I'm sure some people could apply for the jobs, but the thing is they are being yeah. funded as part of regular city departments, right? And
well, it's interesting that those are separate from the six positions in the Department of Community Safety. That's
right, so it's,
yeah.
right, but it does appear to be related. So so yeah. really there's more than six positions. But they're all within the existing city departments.
Right, emergency communications is not necessarily with community.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Now,
okay.
one thing, though it's not really shown in here, so maybe mm-hmm. I'll just sort of step out to speak yeah. through here, okay. is that one of the other interesting changes is, you know, and I, you know, we'll see what happens at the budget hearings, the very first one next
May 10th, Wednesday.
May 10th, mm-hmm. because that's all the public, you know, a lot of the public safety stuff is all compacted into those
right.
that one day.
That's right.
But you know, remember all that talk about defund the police? Well, mm-hmm. we are putting more money to create an alternate yeah. response mechanism for you know, ones yeah. that could be done potentially without uniformed police.
Yeah.
But there's also approximately a $5 million increase in the police budget. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the notion
that
somehow we're going to yeah. start winnowing money away from yeah. the police in order to fund this alternative because we don't like police, that doesn't seem to be what's playing out at all under the mm-hmm. city priorities in this budget. And by the way, there is, you know, there was, and you remember this as well as anyone,
yeah.
you know, there was sort of a conflict, like two different visions for how these alternate police response could
well, one
place.
Was through the city of the task force with Mark McGovern and Denise Sims leading, and that was spoken to.
Right, and then it was more of a renegade yeah. group that involved a person or two who was on that task
okay,
force.
Okay, I wouldn't call it renegade. I mean, they did their homework and they had people from CAHOOTS and all. I mean, they did their work, but whether they spoke for the community is a whole other issue. Okay,
well, so I would call them renegade only because when it came time for yeah. public comment on the matter, they were the ones who were most dismissive of what the city's proposals were.
And they had all
saying,
of
no,
their...
No, you should do it our way and, you know...
Which is still the way, but I still think they're not... It really bothers me when people say the community has spoken. No, they have not.
No, they have not.
And in fact, you can ask Denise Simmons about her community, and she'll certainly say
that's right. I think
no,
she can
they
set
are not.
People
yeah,
straight.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see what happens. There's going to be some fireworks, I'm sure.
You know, one of the things that I always find perplexing and bordering yeah. on confusing sometimes in reading city uh-huh. budgets, especially yeah. in the last few years,
yeah.
is that there's in the last few years, because of COVID, there's a real divergence between the proposed budget. The adopted budget is almost always identical. They pretty much what the manager says is what comes in. There may be a minor tweak here or there, but there's almost never a change between the proposed budget and the adopted budget.
Right.
But then there, as the year progresses, there's money gets added in out of free cash or other things change.
Right.
Positions go unfilled. And during COVID, that was actually one of the ways they were making ends meet in order to cover these extraordinary expenses without having to deplete all the free cash.
Right.
They were actually leaving a lot of positions that were promised unfilled. Right. They're only now starting to fill them. And I think the manager spoke at length about that last night, that there's a lot of new positions finally being filled.
Right.
Some for better or worse, say.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, so there's basically, I'll just say there are four words that make it a little confusing. You know, for example, let me just say is that the manager and David Kale announced that there was a 6.5% increase over last year's adjusted budget. But actually it was a 7.2% increase over last year's adopted budget.
Oh.
Now, what does that mean? It means that during the year, extra money got shoveled
Yes, okay.
So that, but you'll see the words and it really takes some navigation skills.
Yeah.
Proposed budget, adopted budget, adjusted budget. And now in the budget book, you'll see the projected budget, meaning
it's not like the Constitution where they need to have amendments.
Right,
So they can do that, you know.
Yeah, but you know, so just in case anybody notices some difference in the figures quoted between what increased
projected,
by this amount.
Proposed, adopted.
Proposed and adopted.
Adjusted
and projected. Yeah.
Right.
And it's just an acknowledgement of the fact that there's free cash that may get allocated. There are extraordinary expenses that come up. Like remember when the city purchased the BBN field out Fresh Pond Parkway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, things like that do come up and it will it'll show up somewhere. Right. So it's all underway. And I think the first budget hearing is May 10th.
May 10th from at 9 o'clock.
And then there's another.
Supposedly.
Yeah. And then there's another one.
Departments. And then there's another date in case they have to finish things up.
Yeah, and for those who are interested in this stuff, and I mean, some people feel that it's like watching paint dry, but I actually do find it interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to tape it. I mean, I'm not going to watch 8 hours of it, but I won't be here. So I have to tape it.
Yeah, but so some of it will be boring, I suppose, and some of it will be maybe confrontational. I mean, we'll see what happens when, you know, they talk about why are we getting a $5 million increase in the police budget? Zondervan, I'm sure, will lose his mind over that.
And he won't pass. I mean, what was the
He will vote against the budget because of that, or else he will make his usual statement about, I believe the entire city budget is a racist document, and therefore I'm not going to vote for it, which to me is just a political showmanship, really.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So that's a coming. One other thing on the budget side of things is that in addition to the budget, which is really the operating budget, there's also the capital budget. You know, so there are
operating is another word I'll add to my list here. Operating budget, adopted, adjusted, projected.
Right, for the capital budget. But you know, you see some things under the public investment category, which are actually paid for out of existing funds. But it has become pretty much the tradition that the day or approximately the same time that the budget book comes out is also when the city manager comes to the city council with a series of loan orders.
Okay.
Right. So in other words, those are things that are going to be paid where you're going to actually go out and they'll be bonded.
Right.
So you'll basically incur debt and then you pay it out over a much longer period of time as opposed to pay as you go out of the operating budget.
And we have a very good bond rating, so enables us to do that. And I guess the way they've done it is that somehow we never break the bank, because this is the way you do it, even though we have free cash, supposedly free cash, you have to make loans in order to really do what you want to do, right?
You know, it's basically, it's an averaging process. You can average it out. And they've actually been successful even in renegotiating those to lower interest rates,
really?
Taking advantage of the very good bond rating. So that's where we save money in the long run when we bond, is that we can actually do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's pretty good. But, you know, but anyway, it's there's a, I forget how many, you know, $150 million or something worth of loan appropriations, one of which I struck, well, there's, you know, $78 million or thereabouts for doing real basic infrastructure, sewer projects, the unseen stuff that Cambridge actually does really
underneath
well.
Underneath our feet, that's right.
Yeah, it's you know, that's actually one of the better aspects about a city manager form of government, is that it tends to take care of those things much more deliberately than other kinds of governments do.
Yeah,
you know, so we're way ahead of a lot of our neighbors in terms of water and sewer infrastructure. You know, I mean, you've got 100 plus year old systems, you know, you got to renew them, and we're pretty good at that.
Yeah,
but one of the other ones, which is arguably a little bit on the discretionary side, is there was money allocated to, you know, to basically finally carry out the Grand Junction path. So
saw that.
You know, alongside the Green Line extension, which will be coming online maybe later this year, right? Mm. Some of those ones, did I hear October, I think, something like that latest. Parallel to that is the so-called Somerville Community Path, which comes down to and would connect with the Grand Junction Path over on East Cambridge. And then connect over to the BU Bridge. I have yet to see any... hard plans for a crossing.
I don't think I'll be alive when that happens, but it's idea.
No, listen, there.
That's a lot of stuff to happen.
Coming up soon is the Alston all the stuff.
I know
Alston,
that, but it's
and the two
saying,
there's room for two tracks over the the railroad bridge under the BU bridge, one of which has a track on it, the other one.
I know that
community.
I go over that all the time. I know.
Yeah.
All right, we just have about 20 seconds left, so let's.
Yeah. But anyway,
that's great.
So I think it's something to be learned in taking a good look at the budget book. And I encourage people to actually, at least you can download the PDF and give it a good look. See.
Right.
So anyway, we'll be back in 3 minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.
See you then.